for the residents. And as we went in on the notice board, we passed a notice that said 13 days to Christmas. Now, this notice was designed to help the residents count down to Christmas, and hopefully they've got their masks better than I had mine this morning. But 13 days to Christmas. But as I looked at the notice, I felt a sense of panic rising in me. Just 13 days left. There's so much left to do. Of course, now we're even closer. With 8 days to go, or 8 nights, 8 sleeps. How are you doing? Are you ready? Now, when people ask me that question, I think they're referring to whether I've bought the presents and wrapped them, delivered them, written my Christmas cards, sent them or delivered them, baked my Christmas cake, not that I ever do that, made my pudding. I did make a pudding 1 year. We haven't made it since. I don't think it was that bad, but it was just a lot of effort to make a pudding. Ordered the food, invited the guests, cleaned the house, put up the decorations, planned the menus. Phew, there's a lot to do, isn't there, for Christmas. But Advent is not about getting all the preparations for Christmas and making the big day a perfect day. It's about getting ourselves ready spiritually for Jesus' return, for his second coming. Just as John's role was to get people ready for Jesus' ministry, calling them to repent and make straight the path for the Lord, getting rid of the things that hold them back so that when they meet the Lord in person, they're joyfully ready to welcome him. So right at the beginning of Luke's Gospel, we meet Elizabeth and Zachariah, a childless couple who were past childbearing age, but who were chosen by God to have a special child. A child who would be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he was born. The angel said to Zachariah, "And he will go before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah, an Old Testament prophet, to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of righteousness, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And the words of the angel point to a prophecy in the Old Testament. It's found in Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. "See, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the parents to the children and the hearts of the children to their parents, or else I will come and strike the land with total destruction." John's Gospel makes it clear that John is not the promised Messiah, but the forerunner promised by God who would prepare the way of the Lord. In John's Gospel we read, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came to witness, to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He only came as a witness to the light." In Zechariah's day, there were a large number of priests. It was sort of a tribe of Israel were the priests. And there were loads of them, absolutely loads of them. So they were divided into divisions and they had a kind of rota, a bit like our deacons' duty rotary for those deacons that are in the room. So they would go to the temple at times of the year that were set for their division. And they would be the priests that would serve They would look after the people, they would do all the services and whatever needed doing. That division of priests who were on duty for that period of time would undertake those duties. And then when they'd finished their time of being on duty, they'd go home to wherever they lived elsewhere in Israel. So the temple was in Jerusalem, so they'd have to travel there and live there for maybe a week. And then when their duty week was finished, they'd go home and someone else would come. So it fell to the division to select someone for a special duty. So if there was a festival or a special duty to perform, they would choose one amongst their number to do that special duty, to do that special festival. And the way they chose was by lots. And what happened was, all the names of all the priests who'd never had an opportunity to do this duty before went into the hat, and they drew out a name. And the person's name who drew out would then perform that special duty for the division on that particular day. And then their name would not go into the hat the next time they drew lots. So this was a once-in-a-lifetime duty, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to serve God in the temple doing something really special. And that's what had happened to Zechariah. His name had gone into the hat and it had been drawn out to bring the incense into the temple. Remember I talked about how the temple was divided up into courts a few weeks ago. So there was the outer court that only the non-Jews couldn't go any further into the temple than the outer court. And that's where they had all these stalls with animals that they were selling for sacrifice and money-changing tables. And this was the place of prayer for those people who were not Jewish. And then there was another court, that went further into the temple where women couldn't go past. So the Jewish women could go into the next court, but they couldn't go any further into the temple. And then there was a court for the men, and then there was a court for the priests. And then finally, there was this inner that the high priest only ever the high priest went in once a year, where they believed the presence of God was. It was called the Holy of Holies, right in the centre of the temple. But in the priest's court, there was this altar for offering incense and the sacrifices. And one priest would go, on this particular time of day during the prayers, would go into the priest's court and serve by offering incense to the Lord at the altar. And everybody else would wait outside. So it was really, really a privilege to do this. And Zechariah's name came out. Now, it's not sort of like the lottery or bingo or something like that. The Jewish people believe that God is guiding this, whoever's name comes out is the person God is choosing to serve. So Zechariah is chosen by God, really, to serve on this particular day. And it was at this moment, this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to serve God in this special way, that Zechariah received an angel, a vision, visitation of Gabriel. Just like Mary had a visitation from Gabriel when she was told she was going to have a son. So for Zechariah, the angel came. This special moment in his life, God chose to tell Zechariah that his prayers for a son had been answered at last. I don't know how you would feel if you were alone in a room and you'd gone in there all excited to do something special, and suddenly there was someone else in there with you that wasn't human. And I don't know, angels are sometimes depicted as quite scary looking things, like quite tall and quite strong. But Zechariah was scared. He was afraid. So Gabriel reassures him. Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will call him John. He will be a joy and a delight to you. Remember we lit the candle earlier and I said it was the candle of joy. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. He will be great in the sight of the Lord. He will never take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. Gabriel sought to reassure Zechariah and gave him the news that he would have this son, that he would be a joy for him and for many others. And like Samson and Samuel, John was to be a Nazarite. That's from the Hebrew word nazar, and it means to abstain from or to consecrate oneself to. So John would never take alcohol because he was set apart for God's service. John was a fairly unique character. When he grew up, he went off to live in the desert, living on what he could scavenge, wild honey and locusts. People flocked to see him, many no doubt out of curiosity. But his message was compelling, and he baptized thousands of people who repented of their sins, making themselves ready for the arrival of the promised Messiah, who John promised was on the way and would baptize them with fire. But John was a witness. He came to testify to the Saviour, and he came to get people ready, to get them prepared for what God was about to do next. So what about us? Are we getting ourselves ready for what God wants to do next in our lives and the life of our church? And are we getting ready for Christ's second coming, for his return? In the song we just sang, we ask God to purify our hearts, to set us apart, to make us holy, so that we can be ready to do God's will. In a few minutes, we're going to take communion together, when we remember the sacrifice Jesus made to enable us to enter into relationship with God, purified of sin, made whole, made holy by his death on the cross, and given new life, eternal life, through his resurrection. But there is more to this than making ourselves ready. Ready to receive the Holy Spirit and ready to serve him. John was called to be a witness to the light, so that people who met Jesus in person, so that when the people met Jesus in person, they were ready to receive the message he brings, ready to enter his kingdom, ready to be set free. And we are all called to be witnesses for Jesus. Cast your minds back to the annual general meeting for those who were able to be there. David read Acts 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. These words, David reminded us, were the last words that Jesus spoke to his followers before he ascended into heaven. And that is how we get ourselves ready for Jesus' return. We are witnesses to the truth. We are witnesses to Jesus as Saviour and Lord. And this time of year offers us many opportunities to witness for our faith, to what we know is true. As we share in celebrations, let us also share our faith. As we meet with friends and family, let us witness to our greatest friend. As we set about showing goodwill to total strangers, let us also take the opportunity to help them prepare to meet Jesus for the first time. Jesus said he will return unexpectedly at a time we do not know. And when he comes, will he find us ready to meet him? Will he find us witnessing to the gospel of truth? Some words from a song that we've often sung. As salt, are we ready to savour? In darkness, are we ready to be light? God seeking out a very special people to manifest his truth and his light. Here I am, wholly available. As for me, I will serve the Lord. How about you? Let's prepare to receive communion. Let's pray. Lord, as we come to share your table, help us to forget all the things we still have to do in order to be ready for Christmas. And help us to remember all that you have done for us to set us free from sin and bring us back into your family, back into relationship with our Heavenly Father. And as we share together, help us to prepare our hearts to receive your Holy Spirit, that we might be your witnesses here and wherever we are, that we might be light and salt, helping others to prepare to meet Jesus for the first time and to accept him as their Lord and Saviour also. For we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.